So for those of you who are watching through Periscope, we want to make this announcement to you. Next week, when you get on Periscope, you won't be able to find us because we aren't on Periscope. I need to be turned down because we won't be on Periscope. We are moving to Facebook Live. And so go to Facebook.com/discoverhopecc. Tell Gene again. Go to Facebook.com/discoverhopecc. If you have any questions, just call the office. We'll be more than glad. We want to make sure, we're so glad that you are participating to be with us in our service. And we want to make sure that next week that you're still with us. Matter of fact, we're going to Facebook Live because we want to add to people who many more people will be able to get on Facebook Live. And so that's why we're transitioning. So if you have any questions, just call the church office and we'll make sure that you're set and get that information to you. Okay. Does that make sense?
Yes.
All right. Great. Great, 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 great. All right. We're talking about the power of unity today. Say the power of unity. You know, there's values that we have. And I believe in America, one of the values that we have is individualism, which is something that is very valuable. God has made each one of us very special. There is none of us that are the same. And even if you looked at identical twins, if you talk to the parents, they tell you they are so, so, so different. No one's fingerprint is the same. And no one's fingerprint is the same because nobody is the same. God makes us each incredibly special. You know, growing up, remember my parents used to talk to me about how special I was. They really thought I was all that in a bag of chips. Thank you. But as a kid, I never thought that. I mean, I thought, what are they supposed to say? You know what I mean? That's my parents. They're going to say that. You know what I mean? But the truth is, and this sounds very self-serving to say it, but the truth is, I am all that in a bag of chips. I hate to say that, but the truth is I am. And here's the truth. I mean, the truth is so are you. I mean, you just are phenomenally special. So we take that, and that is a shared value that we have, and that is a great value that we have. But please understand this, that what Satan does is he takes what is good and he distorts it. And as he distorts it, it turns into something that is bad. Let me illustrate. You know what? One of the things that is ruining this country, I mean, just ruining this country, sex outside of marriage. It's just ruining this country. And yet, as a country, we have leaders and media that just celebrates this and mocks the value of saying, no, you should wait until you are married to have sex. So they take something that God is designed and created to take a husband and a wife and to just cause them to become closer and closer and closer and closer and closer. It's designed that way. And it's perverted to be something outside of what God intended, to be something that is very, very hurtful and very, very destructive. Now, I know, you know, that is a seen as a ridiculous thought. I mean, after all, we are so much more developed than that. You can have casual sex. I mean, don't be ridiculous. But here's the reality. You can argue as much as you want with your gray poupon and skinny jeans and all that. But the reality is, sex outside of marriage is absolutely catastrophically harmful to people. Amen. The reason I use this example, and I could use many, is what I want to talk about. The reality of individualism is a great, great value. An awesome value. You are special. But what Satan does, what our enemy does, is he takes that which is good and he twists it and he perverts it. And so individualism is now hurting our country, and it hurts churches. It hurts families. And if we would start to create a shared value, everybody say shared value. Shared value of the importance and the criticalness of us making a preconceived, predetermined decision that we are going to walk in unity. It's amazing what would happen. Let me show you a couple scriptures real quickly. The first is in Genesis chapter 11. Look at Genesis chapter 11. And look at verse 6. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one, and they have all one language. Everybody say, the people are one.
The people are one.
Yeah, the people are one, and they have one language, and this is what they begin to do. Now nothing, look how powerful this, now nothing that they purpose to do will be withheld from them. Nothing. Ever say nothing. See, what I want you to understand is if people would unite and become together, then we are unstoppable. The sky is the limits to what can be done when people decide to get together. Now, whatever people it is, whether it's a church, whether it's a family, whether it's a corporation, whether it's a business, if we will decide, and I'm telling you what, this has got to be taught, because what has been shoved down our throat and taught to us over and over and over and over and over and over and over again is division. And it, listen, it's so easy to understand because it plays right into our carnal nature. I was sharing with the people who came to pray this morning, and we pray here on Sunday mornings at 7:30. We come corporately to pray and to get on our knees and to just simply ask. And I had three seats that were open in a row, 1, 2, 3. And I said this, if somebody comes to sit in this, but in one of those three seats, and there was a person on this side, there was a person on that side, and there was three seats that were empty, I said, guess where most people are going to sit? You take a guess. They're going to sit in the center because they want their space. Amen? How many know what I'm talking about? What I'm telling you is this individualism, this, you know what, is easy to for us to understand, because that's what we walk in so many times. And we want our space, don't get too close. You know what? It's we are individuals, and that's how we act, and that's how we roll. What I'm telling you, what I want to tell you from the start is that individualism, that give me my space, that you know what, you are over there and I'm over here, will cause us not to be effective to the degree that God wants us to be effective. That's right. Amen. So we see in Acts chapter 2, let's look at the first verse. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost is fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. They were all with one accord in one place. They're not just together, but they're together. See, it doesn't just say they're all in one place. Listen, church, we can be together and not together. Amen. I could even say, you know what? Today is a special Sunday, and everybody is going to wear, I'm asking you to wear Hawaiian shirts and shorts and flip-flops. Okay? And so we're going to do all that, and we all can come in. We all can have shorts. We all can have Hawaiian print shirts. We all can have flip-flops. But how many know that doesn't mean we're together? Is that not right? Exactly. It doesn't mean we are together. It doesn't mean we're together. We can be together in this room and not together. But the Bible says that they were, look what it says, they were all. Everybody say all.
All.
See, that's where this individual, yeah, but you don't understand, Pastor, I'm special. Well, listen, you are special. But don't take that specialness and let it get distorted into something that God doesn't want it to be. Does that make sense? No, what we need to have is a shared value of being together. They were, watch this, and when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all, every one of them, all of them, everybody say all of them. They were all together in one accord and in one place. Not just in one place, but in one accord. I'm going to talk about that. And what happens? You know what? Just a little later. Well, let me tell you what happens. They get filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit falls on them. They start speaking in tongues. Supernatural. What happened? There were all these people from all over the place. There was a feast, and they were celebrating. So all these people came from all over the place, all with different languages. But when they heard these 120 speaking, they heard them praising God in their own language. And they tripped out and they recognized, whoa, something. How many know something supernatural going on? Amen. Listen, when you and I will make a decision, everybody say make a decision. Because let me tell you what, it is not going to happen coincidentally. We're not coincidentally going to agree on probably anything, almost. So you have to have a preconceived notion, a predeterminedness, and it's got to be, I'll look at it, I'll show it in a minute. It's you've got to be completely determined that I am going to be in agreement. And that's what they were. And when they were in agreement and they were obedient, the Holy Spirit fell, supernatural something took place. Peter stands up, and that day he preaches a sermon. And he can't even finish his sermon, but people are so convicted by the Holy Spirit that they stand up and say, they interrupt him and say, what must we do to be saved? Yeah, they recognized their brokenness and they cried out, we need salvation. What do we have to do? And that day, 3,000 people came to the knowledge of Christ. Came into the family of God. What am I doing? I'm going to go over to you today some reasons why people don't walk in unity. And it kind of sounds negative, but I don't want it to be negative. I just need to point out the obvious. There's some simple reasons. But before I go over those reasons, I want to start to get you excited to start to understand the blessing that will happen if you'll start to walk in unity. If you'll start to walk in unity at your business. If you'll start to walk in unity in your family, in your home. If you'll start to walk in unity when you come to church and make an agreement, make a decision, a preconceived decision that you're going to walk in unity. Psalms 133rd Psalm, it's just three verses, and we've shown you these verses before, but let me just go over it to you real quick. Behold, the writer of this psalm is saying, look at this. Look at how good and how pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity. Watch how good this is. Look at what happens. It is like the precious oil. The oil is a significant, it always describes the Holy Spirit. It's this precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. Watch this. It's like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountain of Zion, for the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Listen, when you and I will preconceived, no matter how we feel, oh, that's a good one. No matter how we feel, when we will make a decision, we are going to be in agreement. We're going to be in unity. When we make that decision, here's what happens. God has a special blessing for us. Amen. A commanded blessing. And that blessing runs from the head to the beard to every part of the body. That's what God wants. But there's some reasons why it's not happening. We need to talk about that. I mean, no, sometimes you need to know what you're doing wrong to correct what you're doing. Does that make sense? You know, so you're, you know what, it's playoff time. So you know what, you are swinging and you're not keeping your eye on the ball. So right before you think you're going to hit it, and right at that point you start to look up, and you look up and you're going to miss the ball. Well, that coach doesn't need to go, oh, no, you're doing everything fine. That coach needs to look at you in the face and go, hey, let me tell you a problem. He needs to analyze it, not to focus on the problem, but to correct the problem. Yeah. Amen. Amen? Amen? Okay, I'm just asking, are you ready to be corrected? Yes. No. It's well, short term it's going to hurt. Long term, you're going to love it. That's why I showed you the benefit first. Does this make sense? All right. So four reasons. Okay. Four reasons why organizations don't have unity as a core value. Why do you say organizations? Because organizations are made up of people. And so whatever organization that is, your business, you know what, your company, you know what, your family, or your church. These are all organizations. Four reasons why, you know what, organizations don't have unity as a core value. Please understand, unity has to be a core value. It's got to be a core value. It's got to be something that we all value. Because if we all value it, then we'll all do the necessary things that it's going to take to get there. Are we together? Yes. I'm just asking, do you want to hear?
Yes.
All right, good. Number one, one of the number one reasons why organizations don't have unity as core values is because people are not willing to work hard. Let me tell you what. If you're going to be in unity in your family, it's going to be one of the hardest things you've ever done in your life. And let me just ask you, I've probably asked you this before, where are the most irritating people? Think about it. Where do the most irritating people live? Okay. Here's my thought. They probably live at your house. Amen. And let's just be honest. Where do they live? I know where they live. I know where the most irritating people live in my reality. They live in my house. But no, they don't. They live in my house. Listen, the reason why we don't walk in the blessings that will come as we walk in unity, here's why. Because it is hard. It's going to take some work. It's going to take some effort. It's going to make a decision. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. Chapter 4, verse 1. Look what it says. I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling. What are you called to do? You and I are called to do great things. And we're going to do great things as we walk in unity. If we don't walk in unity, we are going to be fractioned. We're going to be separated. We're going to be annoyed. We're going to be ticked off. We're going to be, you know, and listen, and we won't accomplish what God wants us to accomplish. So he says, therefore, prisoner of the Lord, I beseech you, I'm begging you, he says, to walk worthy of your calling, which you have been called. Next verse. With all lowliness and gentleness, we'll talk about this in a minute, not words that we really want to think about. Ooh, that sounds like fun. With all lowliness and gentleness, we'll talk about that in a minute, with long-suffering, bearing with one another. Bearing with one another. I say bearing with one another. Let me tell you what, that's why we don't have unity as a core value. We allow other people to tick us off. Other people are annoying. And so what we do is, because it's not really important, how many know if for everyone that came to church on Wednesday, I can say anything I want. I can say, you got to come 4 Wednesdays in a row. If I said, everybody needs to come 4 Wednesdays in a row. Okay, here's what would happen. Some of you would receive that, and some of you would do that, and some of you would go, oh, I can't. But let me show this. Watch this. Can I tell you what's a shared value with most people? The value of money. How many know money is a shared value? Now watch this. So if I said, if you came for the next 4 Wednesdays and you weren't late, I'd give you $1,000. How many know you would figure out, you'd make some kind? How many know? I'm just asking, how many would be here on Wednesdays? I'm asking. I'm not $1,000. Come on, raise your hand like you mean it. $1,000. Now watch this. Let me show you how motivating this is. Now, and for some of you are thinking, $1,000 for something? Okay, Wednesday, 4 Wednesday, I'll do it. It's worth it, okay? Watch this. I'll show you how motivating this is. I'll show you how money is a shared value. It's really, really something that we value. It's important. We see it as important. Now watch this. You need to come for 20 Wednesdays in a row, and I'll give everyone who comes 20 Wednesdays in a row and they're never late, I will give them $10,000. Watch this. I'm just asking. Be honest. How many are you going to be here? Whoop. Here's what I'm saying. Here's what I'm saying to you. Here's what I'm trying to point out. Now watch this here. How many say, okay, you need to come 100 Wednesdays in a row and I'll give you $1? Yeah, some of you real spiritual ones, I'll do it for free, amen, thank you very much, okay? But that's not the point. The point is, can you feel, you feel the difference? You feel what I'm talking about? And here's what happens. We don't have unity. We don't have unity as high of a shared value as it really should be. So here's what happens. When someone irritates us. Oh, here. Again, let me refer it again, okay? You have as a shared value, you have an opinion of how people value you. It's important. Is your appearance important to most people? How people perceive you, is that important? Hello, come on, are we together? Is that important? Okay, so watch this. So you're in a fight with your wife, with your husband. And you, I mean, it's one of the drag out ones. It's like, hey, I'm glad I don't have a plate in my hand right now because I'd throw it at you if I did. Okay, one of those kind of arguments, okay? And you're just going for it and going for it. The telephone rings, and what do? You answer the phone. I mean, you are totally red in the face, and you answer the phone. Hello? What happened? You know what I mean? Here's all I'm suggesting to you. All I'm suggesting, what happened? That shared value, watch, here's what happened. That shared value was more important, and you got it together real quick. Do you understand? Here's what I'm saying, that it's going to take some toughness for you. Paul says, I beat my body. I tell my flesh, you know, listen, if you want to, you ever said something and you just, man, you know what I mean? Just, hello, am I the only one? Just something, and when it came out, you're like, ooh, oh. Okay. Okay. Exactly. Yeah, forget, exactly. Forgive me, Lord. Has that ever happened to you? Okay. Listen. You can make a decision, a preconceived decision, that you are not going to let people irritate you anymore. And I'm not saying that it won't take some work, and I'm not saying that there's, you know, not times that you got to just bite your lips. I'm going to say it. But you know what? If you will be slow to speak and start allowing God to minister to you, you can develop yourself where you are a disciplined person and people just don't tick you off anymore. The reason why we don't walk in unity is because as a shared value, it's really not that important to us. But what's important to us is that we tell people what we think. That's important to us. And what God is saying is, no. I want to expose you today that you would understand this value is not, it's not valuable enough to you. Number one reason, it's just, you know what? It's just too tough. Well, I say, we're going to toughen up, amen? Can somebody say amen? Amen. Number two, people are not willing to put others in front of themselves. People are not willing to put others in front of yourselves. Look at Philippians chapter 2. Look at Philippians chapter 2, starting with verse 2. Go back to verse 1. Can you go, guys, can you go back up to verse 1? Therefore, if there is, listen to how he writes this. If there is any consolation in Christ, if there is any comfort of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if there's any affection and mercy. Are you catching this? Do you see how he's saying it? He's saying it poetic, but you can hear the cadence of his heart. Fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being in one accord of one mind. Paul's saying, here's what I want you to do, guys. I want you to act I'm so passionate about this. I want you to act and make a decision that you guys are going to be together. This is absolutely critical to the body of Christ. It's critical that we start walking and making a decision that unity is going to be a shared value.
Yeah, but I don't like it when she does it that way.
I'm saying, man, guys, please. It takes mature people to put other people's, you know what, will in front of your will. It just does. But can I tell you what? You and I can do this. And you and I are going to start to understand the importance of us having a shared value. Fulfill the joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being one accord and one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others. Here it is, better than himself. Ever say better than themselves? Then look at verse 4. Let each one of you not only look on for your own interest, but the interest of others. Each one of you. Everybody say each one of you. See, this is a shared value that we need to have. We need to understand if we will come together, if we will be in unity, we can do incredible things. But to do that, it's going to cost us something. What it's going to cost you? It's going to cost you your opinion. We don't have to do what you want. How many know the truth is, and watch, I'm gonna get people riled up right now. But how many know really, and I'm going to get people, I don't know if I should say this. Okay, I want to go there, okay, because I don't want to create disunity. But watch this. How many know really, to some extent, you know what, there's the iPhone. What's the other one? Okay, the Android, okay. And I'm reading the Android. So how many of you know really, the Android is no better than the iPhone? I told you. How many know the iPhone is really no better than the Android? Oh, now you're really going to... See, what is it? Here's what it is. You have, for many of you, you never had an Android. Like if you ask me, what's the best? I'd say, that's a no-brainer. The iPhone. Ask me how many days ask me if I've ever owned an Android. I never have owned an Android. You know what I mean? So my daughter has one. Do you have one, Megan? And Megan, what do you think the best phone is? Okay. And Megan and I can get, you know, we get in fights over this. You know what I mean? That's so stupid. No, you're so stupid. No, you're stupid. No, you're more stupider. No, you're the stupidest. Well, you're the stupidest in infinity. Well, you're the stupidest in infinity, and infinity's infinity. See, you know what? What is it? It's really tomato or tomato. You know what I mean? Watch. Let me show you. How many like you get? You go to get a Tommy's burger, and you like onions in your Tommy's burger. Raise your hand real high. Oh my goodness! God help you. Absolutely ruined. You know, understand this, and what is it? And what happens in life is you think, no, what I want is the bone. What I want. And you're like, and let me tell you what, unity ain't going to come that way. You have to defer to someone else. That's how unity is going to come. You think, oh, you know what? You know what's going to happen is when you come to agreement with me. Yeah, how often does that happen? See, what I'm talking about, a preconceived notion that you've already preconceived. I have a shared value of unity, and that will mean that you are going to have to take a back seat. And it's not going to get done the way you want it all the time, just how you want it. But we have not had a shared value. We don't understand how important unity is. And so we just know, Android, iPhone. And understand this, It's not about black or white. See, that's what you thought it was about. It's not about Hispanic or Asian. That's what you thought it was about. Satan doesn't care about that. He doesn't care about any of it. You know, I was in the having lunch yesterday with the interns, and I was pointing this out. And I say, you know what? And so three of the interns wear glasses. I was like, hey, you know, the glass people are the cool people. You know what I mean? People without glasses, they're the dorky people. You know what I mean? And I said, no. You know who's the really, you know what? The people, you know, four of us had shorts on. You know what I mean? So no, the people who wear shorts, they're the cool people. People with long pants, they're whatever. See, what's the point? Here's the point is, it doesn't have to do with black and white. It has to do with Satan dividing us, understanding if we're united, you know what? There's nothing that can stop us. And Satan will use anything to divide you. You know, tall people, short people, fat people, skinny people. You know what? Armstrong, you know what, who comes to us in February and ministers to us. Well, he comes to our house. He's a friend of ours, and he comes to our house, and he hangs out for the weekend. And we talk, and I recognize this as he was talking about, because I was deceived, thinking it's one group against another group. Well, it is one group against another group, but how it gets grouped is totally insignificant to Satan. He just wants us divided. We think it's through these, you know what, but it's, you know, we think it's a color thing. It's not a color thing. And Armstrong would talk about these tribes and this just great wars that would take place in tribes in Africa. And they were all the same color. Amen. And then I started recognizing that happens all the time. You know what? All kinds of, you know what? The Protestants against the Catholics. They're all the same color. See, it doesn't have to, he doesn't care about that. It's not about that. It's about him just going, you know, watch this. You got to watch me. It's about him just going, just getting an attitude of, they got shorts on. They wear glasses. Whatever it is. And if you are going to say no, if you're going to hang on to it and say, let me tell you what, the people who don't wear glasses are better, then God help you. Because that attitude will keep us always. Yeah, how many know they all were in one accord? See, I can do everything I can to be in agreement with you, but if you decide, I tell you what, I just don't like, you know what, that guy's got a jacket, he should have jeans on. Doesn't he know cool pastors wear jeans? I just don't like that. You know, yeah, skinny jeans. Okay. Yeah, right. My wife one time, we're shopping for clothes, and my wife one time, no, try these on. You know what I mean? I'm like, oh my goodness, honey. And then I came out just looking so dorky. I'm a dork. Are these good, honey? Amen. You don't want to see me in skinny jeans. Just trust me. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. But I digress. Let's move on. Number three, people are not willing to be humble. Listen, there's got to be a willingness that you have to be humble. there's a athlete, the Texas, what is a Texas football team? What do they call it? Texas what? Pro football. Not the Longhorns, that's college pro. Texas Texans? Okay, thank you. Thank you. Whatever, that team. One of their players that was drafted, his name was J.J. Moses. J.J. Moses was in the NFL for 5 years, okay? And he was a punt returner and a kickoff returner. This guy was fast. This guy was, you know what? And listen, every Sunday, whatever it is, 80,000 people would cheer and shout for this guy. But if you went to Lakewood Church on a Saturday night for their Saturday night service, J.J. Stokes would usher you to your seat. J.J. Stokes would pass out the offering plates. J.J. Stokes, if you were new to the church, would show you where the restrooms were. Now, what's my point? My point is, can you imagine going to Lakewood and having this gentleman seat you down? And you think, wow, that's a nice usher. And in your mind, you wouldn't think, oh my goodness, that guy plays in the NFL. Here's the interesting thing. J.J. Stokes said this to his pastor, to Pastor Osteen, said this: the greatest thing that I do is serve here on Saturday. Amen. Got thousands of people cheering for him. Been in the NFL, the highest degree of athlete that you can be. Thousands of people cheering for him. And here's what he says: the most valuable thing I do is serve other people. Amen. See, you know what? It takes a big person to do little things. There's another man who was worth $6 billion. I didn't say million. I said $1 billion. And he owned all kinds of things. One of the things that he owned, it was a retreat center. In this retreat center, he was there the weekend at his own retreat center. And the person that runs the front desk had stepped away, and some guests came. He asked them their name. He got them their keys. He took their bags to their room, put their bags away, and even got them some ice. On the way out, the lady grabbed in her purse a $5 bill and gave this person worth billions a $5 tip. How many know he didn't need that $5 tip? But what is it? How valuable is it when you will have a shared value of I'm going to walk in humility and not pride? See, let me tell you what, that's huge. I told this to the men's class, but the other, last Sunday, or maybe it was the Sunday before, I saw this little boy, and this little boy was kind of just hanging around Barnacle Bob. Now, I had been in children's ministries for a long time. I understood what that little boy wanted, about 8 years old, and all that little boy wanted is for Barnacle Bob to say, hey, give me a hug, you know what I mean? Come here, you know what I mean? And I could tell what was going on, and I was watching this, and sure enough, Barnacle Bob said, you know what I mean? Hey, matey. And you know what? And he got down and gave him a hug. And I thought, you know what? How valuable is that? I thought, how many men would be willing on a Sunday? So you say, well, he's not that busy. Hey, he's just as busy as you are busy. He's not less. You know, what do you think? You think people in this church that serve, do you think they're just not as busy as you are? Because let me tell you what, they are as busy as you are. And what I found is most of the time, they are busier. I found, find a busy person and ask them, because they'll get something done. I'm just saying. You think he's not busy? You think he's doing that because he's got nothing else to do? No. It's not that. He has just made a decision to walk in unity and to walk in humility. Now, last but not least, okay, number one, people don't walk in unity because it's too hard. Number two, they don't walk in unity because, you know what, you got to put other people in front of you. Number three, they don't walk in unity because it takes somebody humble to walk in unity. And number four, and this is probably the hardest, number four, because they're not willing to take direction. Remember where the Bible says, well, let's go, guys in the back, be with me because I'm going over a lot of scripture real quick. Let's look at what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat. That's what the Bible says. He made them. He made them. You ever see a mother make a child getting in a car? How many know that's not? Honey. If it's okay with you, it's okay with you. If we're not crapping your style, you know what I mean? Could you please get in the car? I mean, that's not making a child get in a car. Okay. Jesus made them get in a boat. And the reason why I show that to you is because most of us, we just, you know how we roll as Christians? We roll as Christians, and it's completely unchristian. Understand this, Lord means the director of your life. God should direct your life. God, you listen, there's all kinds of decisions that when you became a Christian, you just lost control. And that's why there's so many people resist and they're not walking the fullness that God's called them to, because they won't give him control. And I understand that's difficult, but I also understand that is smart, because let me tell you what, nobody can run your life better than Christ can run your life. And so what God says to Paul, he says, why in the world? Why do you kick against goats? For some of you who had one foot in and one foot out and one foot in and one foot out, and you've been living that lifestyle. You've just been living that lifestyle. Oh, you know what? Yeah, but let's not get fanatical. Listen, it's not fanatical. It's not over the top to commit your life to Christ. It's, listen, this is Christianity 101. And we've been poisoned in a mindset of you can just come and you can just not serve and you can not give and you can, you know what, treat your wife however you want to treat her, treat your husband however you want to treat him. You know what, just walk around with a bat. I love you. Am I still smiling? Listen, you can't have a bad attitude and be a Christian. Why? Because when you became a Christian, you gave your life to Christ. Now he tells you what to do, how to act. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, who humbled himself to the point of death. Listen, if you're going to be a Christian, you know what? You got to give it up. But we've seen this modeled. People who just have one foot in, one foot out, and you know what? After all, you know what? I mean, whatever. You know what? I'm not that bad. Listen, that is not your standard. You want to know your standard? Your standard is Jesus. Well, yeah, but I can't. Blah, 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 blah. No, you came here. Listen, stop quoting Satan. Amen. Satan is the one who says you can't do all kinds of stuff. God says you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. Quote him. Are you catching this? Immediately, Jesus made them, you know what? Jesus made his disciples get into a boat. You know, can I tell you the truth? God is looking that you would submit to him, that he could make you treat your husband the way he deserves to be treated. Well, he don't deserve it. If God says he deserves it, he deserves it. Amen. So you know what? God wants to make you treat your wife. Just take direction from his set. What he says. Is he your Lord? Then do what he says. Amen. And watch this. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, or verse 7, go to verse 7. Remember those who rule over you. Remember those who rule over you. Remember those who rule over you. Okay, now go to verse 17. Obey those. Help me out. Come on. Obey those who what? Okay, go back to 17. Remember those who, what? Okay, 17. Obey those who? Verse 24. Greet those. Three times in one chapter, The Holy Spirit is pointing out people rule over you. Oh, Liza Pierre. Nobody rules over me. Okay. We got a problem, Buggy. Let's see. God says people rule over you. You say nobody rules over you. I pick God. Amen. Now listen, people rule over you. God has put people over you to rule over you. The question is, do you honor those people that God has put over you? That's the question. No, let me tell you what. It's just me and God. I do whatever I want, and God is my Lord. No, he's not your Lord. Because if he was Lord, you'd understand the Bible says that God put people over you. Understand this, guys. This is a kingdom. It's a kingdom, right? It's not a democracy. And they go, oh, no, nobody rules over you. No, okay, you're disagreeing with God again. God has put people over you. God has put, well, let me tell you what, when those over me are as smart as me, then I'll do what they say. Oh my goodness. See, can I tell you one of the reasons why I say you haven't found a perfect church? Because I want you to understand, Tamara and I are not perfect. Our kids are not perfect. Listen, and welcome to the club, neither are you. But let me tell you what we are. We are sincere, and we do everything that we can to not just tell you what to do, but to show you what to do. As God is my witness. Okay. But that doesn't mean that we're perfect. But let me tell you what that is. It's a ruse. It's a smoke screen. Because in your mind you think, yes, I would be submitted. I would be submitted to authority. But you know what? But I just need to make sure that authority is smarter than me. Well, I'm sorry, you can't find that in the Bible either. Sometimes I scratch my head and I say, why have you called me to be over these people? But guess what? I don't have to figure it out. Am I the smartest person? I'm not the smartest person. Am I the anythingest person? Listen, I don't pick. I didn't pick. What I'm saying to you is, if we don't understand that we have to have a preconceived notion, here's what the Bible says: let everything be done in decency and in order. Let's take the worship team. You know what I mean? Connie might have a certain thought of how we should, you know, maybe we should have sung the song three times. You're the last song. Maybe we should have done a cappella more. Maybe Ernie thinks, you know what? No, maybe Ernie thinks Tyler should have been louder on the drums. Okay? Maybe Angel thinks Tyler should be softer on the drums. So who's in control? How do we do this in decency and order? Connie and Ernie and Angel have to have a preconceived decision that they're going to submit themselves to Isaac and Tyler. Amen. Oh, I'm sorry. And Randy. Is that right? Is that right? Because if you do it any other way, you know what? I'm just asking, is the day going to happen that, you know what, all these people are just, oh, and Brian. Amen. And here, let's use that for example. And she said, for example, look, I'm up there and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, what is his name? And then as I'm thinking, what is his name? Not Brian, but I forgot, don't tell me, you know what? I forgot Randy's name. And I'm thinking, I see him over here. I know Randy's name. But then I'm thinking, oh, I forgot his name. And then I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, oh, be cool. You'll think of it. Be cool. But there's this whole thing going on. Randy needs to have the preconceived notion, if I forget his name, he's not going to be irritated and annoyed and think like, man, you know what? I mean, I come to practice. I'm faithful. You know what I mean? I'm submitted to him. And he can't remember my name. No, that's not right. Well, let me tell you, it's not right. But it's your pastor. And he's got to have a preconceived notion. Preconceived that this is how he's going to roll, that he is going to be in unity, even if I forget his name. What do you think I don't know who Brian is? You don't think I love Brian? You don't think I would go over to his house at 4 o'clock in the morning and I don't know if he has a cat and climb up his tree and get his cat out of a tree if he asked me to do? You don't think I'd do that? Because let me tell you what, you can ask my wife. I would exactly do that for Brian. And you know what I need? I need Brian if I forget it. But that's how we do. And we not only do the pastor, we do it to his wife. We do that to each other. You know, I don't have to take this anymore. Well, you can do whatever you want. But I'm telling you what, if you decide, if unity is not a shared value, then there will be that and 50 other billion other things that are going to tick you off. And you'll never walk in this blessing that God has for you.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. Well, I have a lot more to say, but I'll say it next service. Amen. My gorgeous wife. Oh, my goodness. Wow, honey, I love those pants, man. Going out. Hey, unity. Remember unity.
It's just the same. Okay. See, now you're going to mess me all up. I was all ready to come up here. Here's what's on my mind. C.S. Lewis said that if you historically will look at Christians who have been effective, believers who have done more in our society than anyone else, this is what you find in their lives. They look at life with an eternal perspective. They live their lives that way. It's interesting because Jesus Christ, our Lord, the one that we worship, talked more about people, the numerous amount of people going to hell, and about a numerous amount of people being deceived, thinking that he was their Lord. We might want to put those two facts about the one that we worship on a mirror somewhere where we see it every day. That we would get an eternal perspective every day before we begin our day, that we begin our day walking out looking at things eternally the way the Lord looks at them. Because does the Bible not say that this life is just a vapor? It's nothing. And yet, we have a tendency to wake up every morning and we live this life. But if we'll get an eternal perspective, we'll live our lives differently. As believers, I think that we forget. We think, hey, I've asked the Lord to be my Lord. He's my Lord. And so therefore, I'm in. But we, as those who love him, those who profess him as Lord, we will have a judgment with him. Sometimes we think judgment is for those who didn't ask him to be their Lord. It is. But it's also for those of us who asked him to be our Lord. It's a different judgment. And what's that judgment all about? Here's what he's going to do. He says that we're going to be judged. Listen to this. It'll make you live your life differently if you'll get this in front of you and every day start your day with this reality. We're going to be judged on our thoughts. We're going to be judged on our motives. And we're going to be judged on our deeds. Are you ready for that? And what is the judgment? Well, the judgment is that our thoughts, our motives, and our deeds should be his thoughts, his motives, and what he says. So we already have the test. We know what measuring stick is going to be used. And then it's our job to let him be our Lord, which means the one who directs our life, and direct it according to his thoughts, his motives, and what he says we should be doing. I think that one truth, if we would grasp that, not only would it take care of unity in the body, it would take care of a whole lot of other things. Because all of a sudden, we have a true perspective on eternity and how this thing's really going to go down. And we can't love him and not cause that. Have that truth cause us to just behave differently if there's anything that's out of check. We would start to dust some things up and get some corners off of some edges that shouldn't be there. Is this true? Can you see it? Can you imagine if every day you began your day knowing, I'm going to give account for every thought, every word, motives, my deeds. That would change things, don't you think? I think so. It's a good thing for us. Actually, we might put that just up on our mirror. So we just, every day, and for sure that would cause us to respond differently. You know what, in situations where our flesh gets challenged, amen, by irritating people.